Will you pray with me this morning? Come, Lord Jesus, into these darkening days and into our deepest fears. Come as promised, come as expected, as infant and Savior. Come as our beloved, come as Lord. Amen. Several years ago, in a small Montana town, the sheriff's deputy brought in two men for what he called disturbing the peace. The truth was that they had been drinking a little bit too much, and their party had continued out onto the streets long after last call. So the deputy put them in side-by-side cells, if you can picture this. Remember the jail cells in Andy Griffith's town? Yes? So put them in side-by-side cells and sat down to do the paperwork to admit them into his jail for the night. And he turned to the first man in the first cell and he asked him his name. Napoleon, he replied. Napoleon what? Asked the deputy. Napoleon Bonaparte, he said. You are not Napoleon Bonaparte, the deputy shot back. Yes, I am, he insisted. God told me I was. And then a voice from the other cell piped in. I did not. It seems that in that sleepy little Montana town, the peace was being disturbed in the form of a drunken identity crisis. And today's gospel reading is not so different. John, a man sent from God, well, he's having something of an identity crisis. And what we are learning about John from the gospel today is more about who he is not than about who he is. He is not the light, he is not the Messiah, he is not Elijah, he is not the prophet. He is, as Heidi said, a voice crying out in the wilderness. In other Gospels, he is known as John the Baptizer or John the Baptist, but in the writer of John's Gospel, who is another John, this is not the same John, this John is John who is the witness. This is John who testifies. John the witness testifies to the good news of Jesus Christ. In John's gospel, those two words, witness and testify, are used more than 45 times. They have their origins in a legal context, and so they imply this very public testimony to something that one guarantees is absolutely true. When a witness testifies to something, they put their hand on a holy book and they stake their life that it is true. And so, like the man whose name was John, the church is sent into the world as witness. In this season, we know that we too have been called and sent into the world as witnesses, as holy testifiers. Not to point to ourselves, but so that all we do and all we say and all that we are might point to the one who has come and who is to come again. Now, I wish that it were that simple, that it was just a matter of pointing back to Jesus. But the truth is that in this age, to witness to Jesus means that what we witness to is the story of a person that is centuries old. And then we are called to speak to why it matters today. But we are gospel people, and we are bold enough to believe in the truth of the gospel, and we believe that its truth must be proclaimed, that we must bear witness to the work of God in the world. I asked my Sunday school class this morning, why does it matter that Jesus is in the world? Why does it matter? They had very good answers. But it leaves us responsible for the question, Who is Jesus? And why does he matter? Of course, our testimony comes from this side of the resurrection. Unlike John, no one will confuse us with Jesus. No one will ask if we are God come to earth, and if we claim to be God, then we should hope for a jail cell and a night to overnight there and sober up. But what word do we have to say? What word do we speak to a world that needs to know what difference it makes that Jesus lived? How do we speak to Jesus of a world struggling to make sense of the senseless, of school shootings and racial injustice and the end of the year layoffs, of torture and terrorism and crime, of homelessness and hunger, not in our backyard, but in our pews? Of grief and of sorrow that is fresh to those for whom it is new, and an all too familiar companion to the rest. How can we speak of Jesus? How can we be witnesses? Well, first, to bear witness, we remember that it is our call to be witnesses, a call to each one of us. The prophet Isaiah tells us how and why we must testify. It is because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and we have been anointed to bring this good news. It is news that will wrap around broken hearts. It is news of freedom to those who are held captive. It is a reminder of the power of God in the face of our own powerlessness. And so Isaiah offers up these stunning images. This passage that we read in the first lesson today is beautiful and rich in its imagery. But the problem for us is we don't use those same images anymore. It's as though if we were writing and way in the future we were to say when we logged on to the internet and people would go, what's the internet? Isaiah talks about putting on garlands of flowers instead of ashes. In these days, families who were in mourning in order to identify themselves put on sackcloth, something like burlap to wear, and they smeared ashes from the fire all over themselves. And that's how their neighbors knew they were mourning. And Isaiah says, you can take that off. And instead, God is going to put around your neck a garland of flowers. Just imagine it. I kept picturing when I was looking at this text, a lei as the kind they give you when you arrive in Hawaii. Not that I know, but that I hear that they give you when you arrive in Hawaii. And then the text says that you are given oil to soothe your skin, because you can imagine that those ashes would have made your skin rough. And so you're given oil to soothe them. And that fainting and weary spirits are given a mantle of praise. What is a mantle? For me, a mantle is that thing around my fireplace. But for Isaiah, a mantle was a beautiful cloak. It would be generous enough to envelope you, not unlike the chasuble that I put on at the time of communion. That's where that garment gets its origins. And a mantle was a sign that God was with you, that God's presence was literally wrapped around you. And in the case of the prophets, it was a sign that this is the one who has been called to testify. But Isaiah says we are all given mantles, mantles to figuratively or literally wrap around ourselves and remember that God wraps around us. And this is good news for all of us who are called to be witnesses. That in this time when hope seems absent, when we grieve and mourn for all of the ways we fall short, that the words of the prophet reach out and call us back to the promises of God, back to the call on our lives that are not some moral code, but are a new way of being, a way to live in freedom, a way to trade in our ashes and our sackcloth for a garland and a mantle. These are precious promises in the midst of difficult days. This was true for Israel in the time of the prophet Isaiah. It was true for Israel in the time of John the Witness, and it has been true in every time. The promise is that the light of Christ makes a difference in the world and in each life. And sometimes it is hard to see how that can possibly be true. How do we speak promise and light and life to the families of Michael Brown and Darren Wilson? Because whether we like it or not, the promise is for everyone, for each one, for all of us. How do we speak promise to those who are remembering that 2 years ago on this day, their children went to school and did not return? And how do we speak promise to the family of that young man who walked into that school and took their lives? Because the promise is for him too, just as surely as it is for each of us. Because the light shines in the midst of the darkness, even in the darkest places, and in some moment of unimaginable truth and beauty, the light is not overcome there. And so it is that we are thankful that we are called to give witness to the light, to bear the light of Christ, but not to be the light. In this season of Advent, we have invited those that perhaps the world has said, you can't carry the light. The old, the very young, those without homes. We have said, no, you are the light bearers. You carry the light of Christ into us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because the Lord has anointed us. The Lord has called us to testify to the light. And so it is, sisters and brothers, that I invite you to shake off your ashes, take off your sackcloth, and breathe in the fragrant garlands that are wrapped around you. Remember as you come to this table that God has placed God's mantle about your shoulders, reminding you that God is always with you. And in the hard days, in the days of doubt and fear and shame and grief, in the days of sadness and sorrow, in the days of waiting, breathe deeply of that beautiful garland that rests upon your shoulders and be wrapped in the presence of God. Be sure that you are the ones who are called and bear witness to the light. Thanks be to God. Amen.